And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line to what we now call once again Fort Benning. Benning, big old patches of North Georgia. Parts of Mississippi. I mean, listen, that's just the radio, too. Just the radio. And then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, tuning in on places like X and Rumble and Facebook and YouTube and our website, rightsidemedia.org, and live streaming the show every day. Live streaming where you can even see inside the studio. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, listen, the bottom line is this. All y'all, wherever you catch this show, the fact that you do means the world to us. The only reason why we do what we do is because of you. So thank you very much. All right, there's some other people that we're thankful for on Thankful Thursday, and they are folks who do things in the background that just make us better. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn my attention to calling the roll on what we like to do at halfway through hour number two on a Thursday, looking northward. That diva of pontification, that woman with an attitude who also brings in an opinion that she can usually back up with facts, that would be Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay. I'm glad. All right. Lee's on the line. Looking right here more close, but he's sitting on clean feed. So that would be silky smooth voice Butterman. Are you there?
All right. I am here.
You are indeed. All right. So I'm calling it. We got a quorum. It's Butters and Lee. All right, you guys. You know the deal. We got this whole Butters and Lee thing. I ask you questions for the first round. You ask me questions for the second round. Let me find my questions. All right, so one of y'all's got feedback, by the way. Here's the first question. The left is having a complete come apart right now about Trump federalizing law enforcement in Washington, D.C. I just want to know your thoughts. Give me your unvarnished thoughts on this, and tell me this. Does the fact that he's doing this concern you at all? If so, how come? Lee, you first.
No, it doesn't concern me that he's doing this. He's the president of the United States. That is the District of Columbia, which they have, I guess, some control over. And here's the thing. Where we celebrate the capital of our United States should be safe. It shouldn't be a dangerous dump, you know? It should be safe. It should be, you know, how does it look to the rest of the world where our capital is crime infested and people have to worry about having their car stolen anytime they go up there? So, yes, I 100% agree. And I think he has the right to do what he's doing because it is a district and not a city within a state.
All right. Chime in there, Butters. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think it's a good example of, you know, we take for granted the way things are. I haven't put too much thought in my lifetime as to, well, who does govern Washington, D.C. and how that works, but it makes perfect sense. It's not a state. And it doesn't seem like it's working all that well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, what we need to not do is sit back and go, I guess we should treat them like a state, but they're not. And as I understand it, they pretty much have only been run by Democrats. And I think to Lee's point, you know, it's the capital of our nation. It ought to be a safe place. But I think a lot of this uproar it just reeks of all the bureaucracy that's actually running our country right now. And just, oh my gosh, how could we do something like this? He's taking over. Well, that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. What we've had has been broken and not the way it's supposed to be. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts.
I saw something last night that said that, I'm sorry, what, Lee?
It's just control.
It is. They don't like the idea of control unless they're the ones controlling it. But I saw something last night that said that Democrats opposing Trump doing this are really saying, it's as if they're saying they support the idea of the crime more than the enforcement. That's what it sounds like, if you get down to it.
Valid.
Yeah, valid point. It's a very valid point.
Yeah.
The other piece of this is, they've not had home rule. I didn't know this until all this broke. Like, I had to go do a little research, you know, the kind of way I operate the show here, try to find the facts. It turns out the home rule, the D.C. Home Rule Act was not passed until 1973. They didn't even have the ability to make their own laws and even have a mayor or a city council until 1973. But even still, in that law, Congress reserved the right for oversight and to step in if necessary, which is what we're doing.
I think that makes perfect sense. They are not the 51st state. You know, that doesn't They'd sound like they were ever intended to be. So,
okay, but let me take it one step further. Trump did go and send the National Guard to Los Angeles. He did go and enhance the security around the federal courthouse in Portland. He has taken steps in other places that are not Washington, D.C. So the left is saying this is a clear indication of tyranny. How do you respond to that? Lee, you first.
Okay, so when he did bring the guard out to different places, it was mainly to guard federal buildings and federal installations. He has the right to do that, even in other states. But with D.C., yes, they're... The military is there, but it's not really as enforcement. It's more just as in backup and protection, whereas he's more, I think, energizing and helping and supplying things for the D.C. police itself. I think that they've let D.C. get out of control as far as size, as far as you know, having a police force and a mayor and all this. I think D.C. should always have been strictly for... our representatives, our president, I think a lot of that land should be given back to the states and the people as well, because I don't think D.C. was ever meant to be what it is now.
Wow, so Lee just wants to go ahead and like sell off D.C. that's why we're just gonna let's go ahead
to Zillow.
Let's go ahead, and, yeah, put it on Zillow. I mean, we're gonna. All right. So Butters, what are your thoughts on this idea of branching out and doing it in other places? Does that create tyranny?
Well, so I will say this, you know, so I was a Navy guy, so I don't really know the Guard, what all training. My gut tells me, in my experience, you know, rolling out the Guard for policing action is not, especially stateside, even if it's legal, it just doesn't seem like that's the first best option. But he may not have a lot of other options. I don't know if that makes any sense. But you know, we're military. In my experience, we're there to break things, and we're very, very good at breaking things. But like I said, I'll defer to you. I know you've got a lot more experience on the Army side of the house.
You were Navy. There's not a Navy National Guard, so yeah,
I didn't have. So we weren't doing policing actions other than, you know, stopping pirates at sea, and that's usually pretty violent,
which is actually pretty cool. But
So I think you got to tread lightly on some of this. But I will say, President Trump he's pretty good at putting on a show. And so, you know, there's a lot of effect that he gets out of this, and it causes a lot of people to talk about things and go, should do something different.
I'll go ahead and say too, that augmenting, when it comes to intervening for the purposes of saving life, limb, or property, which is the actual terminology, Title 10 of the U.S. Code allows the president to send the National Guard where necessary to, not even just a federal building, but go and secure life, limb, or property. And so he can do that in the absence of a call from the state governor like Newsom, who wouldn't do it, or L.A. Mayor Bass, who wouldn't do it. He just went ahead and said, fine, Title 10, I'm in. And he just went ahead and did it himself. And by the way, the cause of tyranny doesn't give back ground. He had the National Guard there. 60 days later, they were gone. And under, I think it's Article 740 of the Home Rule Act for D.C., he has 30 days to surge like he's doing right now, just to quell the violence, and then he's gone. So I don't think we're going to see a problem. Hey, let's jump on question two before I run out of time. So Trump meets with Putin tomorrow. This is a big deal. Trump's meeting with Putin. They're meeting in Alaska. And I just want to know your thoughts, your predictions. What would you like to see happen? Butters, you first.
I'd love to see some sort of agreement come out of it that we stop the silliness in Ukraine and you know can move on, but I don't know. I hope they come up with some way to save face for everybody that's involved. I expect is probably something will happen that will make a lot of people unhappy on both sides of the issue. But hopefully it's, you know, they seem like pretty smart guys getting in a room trying to figure some stuff out. So,
okay. Well, so what do you think, Lee? What are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen? What are your predictions? What do you want to see happen?
Well, I would love to see an end to this war, this sense of killing of people. And a lot of these people, you know, have loved ones on both sides. So it's terrible and it needs to stop. I think Putin will bow to the pressure, but I don't know what that looks like or what that means aside from he's got to find a way for him to win in some ways in his people's eyes. That's just who Putin is. And is that going to be something accepted by Zelensky? I don't know. I think the Donbas region may still go to Russia. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they need to be willing to, Ukraine needs to be willing to give up some land to stop all this.
Well, and that's going to be tough. That's a hard one to swallow.
I know.
The one thing I'll definitively say, and I'll put money on it, the left will be upset about whatever happens.
Because Trump's the one who called for the meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'm already hearing, why are you even giving him a meeting? What do you mean, why am I giving him a meeting? What a stupid question. You don't mediate with only one side. And Trump is playing the statesman here. Well, we'll see how it goes. I got plenty more thoughts on that one. And in fact, I'll be on CNN tomorrow night probably talking about it. In the meantime, let's take a break. We'll come right back. Round two of Butters and Lee. Flip the script. They ask me questions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, Butters, real quick before I go back into actual question and answer time, Jim from Gunnersville just texted in and wants you to know the Navy does have a guard. It's called the Marine Corps.
Dun, 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 I'm pretty sure that's just the Marine Corps reserves there, good buddy.
Yeah, okay. What he's trying to say is the
I know. Yes, okay. I know what he's saying.
Okay, with that in mind.
I'm very thankful for the Marine Corps.
Hey, this is the part of the time of Butters and Lee where we flip the script and y'all ask me questions. So I'm going to say Butters first. What you got?
All right. So why won't Hunter Biden just go away? So this is, I guess, a fun to me, gossipy type of thing. But this whole deal with Melania Trump, a $1 billion threat. You know, I sort of tongue in cheek say you would think Hunter Biden would shut up and quit while he's ahead. What are your thoughts? Is Melania, is she doing more damage, or is any of this kind of stuff going to actually make the Bidens go away?
No. So first of all, Melania is doing what she's supposed to do, because the things that he did say about her were egregious, so badly that the Daily Beast and a couple of other news sources have already had to print retractions of the story because they realized that it was so salaciously wrong that it was inappropriate to even have published it. Because what he said is, Hunter Biden's most recent accusation is that Epstein is the one who introduced Donald Trump and Melania. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. So I think she's absolutely right to do this. Keep in mind, actually, Hunter Biden had a number of defamation cases because of all the people that were putting up the pictures of him doing drugs with, you know, crack with hookers and in his underwear and all that kind of stuff. But those were actual real. So those cases all wound up going away. Which he really did. And those cases have all gone away. So he's no stranger to this. He did it himself, except that you'd think he would know better because he's been a public figure who believes he was maligned and he's going to do this anyway. Hunter Biden is a troubled individual who we understand is in financial disarray, and he's looking for opportunities to either A, remain relevant, or B, get some coin out of it. And I suspect that if people keep offering him podcasts, he'll keep doing it, and ain't no telling. And those podcasts gain because they get these crazy comments and they're not responsible for them because it was him who said it. So I think Hunter's not going to go away until people stop asking what he's thinking. And so yeah.
I'm just not so sure that she shouldn't just treat him like a bug that she happened to step in and her.
I think they do that with a lot of stuff, but I think on. In this case, it was the first lady, not Donald Trump herself. And the first lady shouldn't have. I think in this case, they had to put him on notice that that's inappropriate and it needed to be recanted. And of course, his response has already been, you know, blankety blankety blank. But before I run out of time, Lee, what question do you have for Moi?
Okay. And I'd like to answer his really fast with one sentence. It's, go away. Where's the money in that? That's what he's doing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's just looking to make money. That's it. So my question for you is, this whole SNAP thing that's just been spiraling, you know, you saw these people putting up videos about they can't buy soda anymore, whatever. Why is it that you never see Alabama making decisive decisions like this, or the governor coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to join this and ask for an exemption and not... We're never even close to being like out front on something, first of all. And second, the two-parter, do you think that it's the, because you know the soda and junk food and snacks have lobbyists too, and I'm sure they are beginning to panic at the thought of losing all that money.
Okay, so I'm going to correct the narrative on something you said.
Okay.
We're not always out front. I think we're less out front now than we used to be. And I realize that I have some sense of ownership over the 2010 class that came in and took back the state house that I was a part of. But I will tell you this, that on that very issue you're talking about, that I supported a bill that Arthur Orr, I believe, brought. We quickly identified where SNAP was being abused. SNAP and EBT cards were being abused. We could see, once we got the printouts that we couldn't get when the Democrats were in charge, we were getting printouts showing them being used in strip clubs. We were looking at, you know, vape shops and tobacco shops and all these places that have no business taking, you know, EBT cards. We're all using EBT cards. And then the other thing that was also crazy was people would go in and they would buy a pack of gum and they would also cash out. So they would get cash and walk away and no telling what they did with it. So it was totally defeating the purpose. And then you never knew if kids were getting fed. So we actually did away with a lot of those things that, and we limited where it could be used in order to ensure that it was being used in places where actual food is being bought. So we led the charge on that, and we changed it, and we were one of the first in the nation to address it. That being said, more needs to be done. It's crazy. I mean, I don't want people who are poor to not be able to get a soda. The question is, how far do we govern? And, you know, we've got to get to the point that we're looking at things from a sense of totality. One of the things they got to do is get rid of the rest of the grocery tax. Like, why do we even tax groceries?
Agreed.
Why do we tax groceries at all? We're one of only the last few states in the nation that even taxes groceries at all. Just be bold, fellas. Get rid of it. And before you start talking about EBT cards and sodas, how about this? Stop taxing groceries. Milk and bread cost money.
Because they don't want to tax, because Alpha's strong, and they don't want to tax certain land. You know that.
I don't know what you just said to me, but all right. Anyway, the bottom line is the music's playing, so now I'm done. All right, listen, I appreciate both of you. Butters and Lee, coming up next, Attorney General Steve Marshall checking in. We will be right back.